Washington. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, Bush goes ahead with the bailout. To the tune of $17.4 billion, the president extends loans to very troubled automakers General Motors and Chrysler. $13.4 billion now, with the possibility of $4 billion later. We'll get reaction from Georgia Republican Congressman Tom Price, who voted against the bailout in the House and even voted against the Wall Street bailout several weeks ago. Also in this edition of Dateline Washington, Blagojevich speaks. The scandal-ridden governor of Illinois takes to the podium briefly to declare his innocence and tell everyone he's not planning to resign at all. We'll hear from the top Republican in the Illinois State Senate and get her reaction to what she heard today and what will come next in terms of an impeachment process. We'll check in with Kevin Dukeser of the Minneapolis Star Tribune as reports suggest that Al Franken has moved ahead of Norm Coleman in the Minnesota Senate recount. And we'll wrap up the week with two holiday parodies from the Capitol steps. All that plus our top news at week's end follows our discussion with Georgia Congressman Tom Price, and that begins right now. My first guest in this edition is Georgia Congressman Tom Price, a Republican representing the Peach State's 6th Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Financial Services Committee. Congressman Price voted against a bailout package for the auto industry, which passed the House anyway. However, Senate Republicans banded together to scuttle the legislation. But President Bush, on Friday, extending $17.4 billion in loans to the auto industry, more than $13 billion right now, and potentially $4 billion more in a few months. And Congressman, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks, Greg. Great to be with you again.
I know that you're obviously staunchly opposed to this. What's your reaction, first of all, to the fact that even though Congress said no, ultimately the president went ahead and did this anyway?
Well, it truly is a disheartening time in our nation's history when one branch of government doesn't respect the wishes of the other. The checks and balances are in place for a reason. But it's even more disheartening because the proposal or the plan that has been put out by the administration is not anything that will take us to a solution. And the American people want these problems and these challenges solved. And the reason I believe that there's so much frustration and angst out there is because we're not using the normal tried and true methods for solving American challenges. And that's what's so frustrating.
The supporters of this, including the administration, say there are concessions that need to be made by the industry as well as the unions, and that within just a few months, there's going to be a reckoning to see just how viable these companies are with the emergency money they've been given. Are you convinced that these are good measures of checking as to whether or not this money is completely wasted or actually being used for a functional purpose?
Well, of course not. I mean, who's going to check? Is the president going to check? Is the Secretary of the Treasury going to check? Is Senator Reid going to check? Is the Speaker of the House going to check? Who's going to check? Those individuals know nothing about what it takes to keep a global company or make a global company survive and thrive. There are processes, however, that are in place that will allow those companies, the American automobile industry, to come out on the other end of a process, a tried and true process, with very vibrant and vital organizations that then can indeed compete. But to leave this up to some nebulous individual in the administration to come to decide whether or not Chrysler and GM have done the right thing, that's just folly.
The president said in his statement today that under normal circumstances, poor business leadership should mean the companies are allowed to fail, but he says these are uncertain times. We have a financial crisis. We're in a relatively deep recession at this point, which could get worse, and he says it's simply not responsible on his part to let that happen, even though his instinct is to pursue free market principles. Well, what's your reaction to that?
Well, I can't think of anything more uncertain or more full of significant challenges and problems than using a method that doesn't have any foundation in principle and doesn't have any history of working. The way that our system has become the greatest in the history of mankind is because we have stuck to the rule of law, stuck to a process that where people know what the consequences are. When you remove the rule of law, when you remove the normal processes, then you're on very, very thin ice with no prospect for being able to guarantee an outcome or a solution. So the tried and true method, the way to get to the end of all this, is to utilize the positive rule of law that has kept our nation stable, strong, thriving for over 200 years, and that's what we ought to be doing right now.
Congressman, a couple of follow-ups to that point. Number one, what do you expect to be the reality a few months from now? Will the Financial Services Committee be looking at these executives once again, going through this very same process as they look for more money, or do you believe there is at least a chance that they can use it in a way that gives them more viability?
Well, I have said that I thought that the Chapter 11 reorganization through the courts is the appropriate way to proceed, because I believe it's the only way to make it so that all of the stakeholders involved will make the concessions necessary to make the companies vibrant and vital at the end of the day. The process that we've been through so far, I don't know why one would expect anything different than for us to be sitting in March in the Financial Services Committee with the CEOs of GM and Chrysler saying, well, we tried, but we just couldn't do it, and oh, by the way, we don't have the money to pay back the taxpayer.
What decisions do you believe could be made in Chapter 11 bankruptcy that could have a fundamental change for the positive for these companies that simply aren't forced to be made unless they go through that?
Because you have the force of the court, you have the rule of law in place so that people are not able to violate whatever decision is made. And the decisions are made by knowledgeable people about business and about restructuring of a major corporation. That's the way that you get through this process. It's done by people who have the experience, who've done it before. People think that the Chapter 11 bankruptcy is the end of a company. It's not. It's a reorganization. Thousands of companies go through reorganization every single year and come out the other end stronger and more vibrant, and have then a company that is more consistent with American values and American vision than whatever we're going to have at the end of this process.
Well, describe your district a little bit for us, Congressman, and whether there's much of a manufacturing base. And either way, whether there is or not, what have you heard from your constituents on this issue, and how passionate are they about the right thing to do here?
I represent the northern portion of the metropolitan area of Atlanta, which has some small manufacturing, a lot of individuals who are very, very concerned, not just about their jobs, but about the amount of tax money that's being obligated for themselves, their children, their grandchildren, and now their great-grandchildren. One of the perspectives that I bring to this issue, though, is that I was raised outside of Detroit. I was raised in Dearborn, Michigan, which was during the 60s, which was boom town and boom time for the automobile industry. And it was because they were able to respond aggressively and actively and nimbly to what the American people desired. That's what we need to get to, back to that vibrancy of a company and an industry, of the American automobile industry. The only way you do that is to make it so that everybody who's involved in the process, all of the stakeholders, have to contribute to the solution. The only way to do that is the reorganization.
Congressman, we also heard today that President-elect Obama is generally supportive of what President Bush announced today. Do you expect much of a departure between the two administrations on this particular policy?
No, I suspect that they've discussed this. I understand that the current administration has been talking to the new administration. It ought not be surprising for the new administration to endorse this. This is a big government concept. It's a big government move. It will increase the size of government and increase the ability of the government to tell private industry what to do. And so it doesn't surprise me. I think it's disappointing that we, as a nation, appear to be ignoring, if not abandoning, those principles that have made us the greatest nation in the history of mankind.
We're talking with Georgia Republican Congressman Tom Price, a member of the Financial Services Committee. And Congressman, we mentioned in the beginning that the president kind of did an end run around Congress, since the Senate never went along with this package. There is a role still for Congress to play here, because the administration is getting pretty close to running out of the first $350 billion of the TARP program, and it will need congressional authorization to some extent. I believe your role is you have the option to block it, not necessarily you have to approve it. Is that right?
That's correct. The Congress has the authority to stop the spending of another $350 billion. I have found, though, what's curious, Greg, in over the past number of weeks, as that money has already been spent, is that people talk about it as if that money exists. This is all funny money. This is all digging the United States deeper into deficit, deeper into debt. And so another $350 billion, people talk as if, oh, you just go to the bank and you pull it out. Well, you'd have to go print it is what you have to do. And that also has incredible consequences down the road with remarkable inflation that will necessitate and have to happen because of the amount of money that is being pushed into the economy.
The Congress has a limited time to reject the request for the rest of the money to be released, or the paper, at least, that it is suggested on, as you pointed out. Do you suspect that you'll be back in session to debate that, or will the Democratic leadership likely just let it keep going?
My suspicion is that it will proceed, and that the money will be allowed to be spent. again, money we don't have. But I think that if there's anything that's consistent between the current administration and the one to come, is that they believe that government is the has the solutions to the challenges we face. I happen to believe that that the American people have the solutions to the challenges we face. We just have to put in place the appropriate structure and safeguards to make that happen.
As you, we've pointed out several times here, you voted against the auto bailout as well as the Wall Street bailout. And I think in hindsight, a lot of people who were on the fence about the Wall Street bailout wish they had opposed it at the time. What do you see as the lessons of the approach taken to this financial crisis?
Well, the lesson is very clear, and it appears to have to be learned over and over and over, and that is that the federal government is not the place to arbitrate and determine how private industry ought to work. Now, there are occasions when the federal government ought to be a backstop, without a doubt, but to provide money to bail out and to purchase assets from private industries and to provide basically a blank check, an open checkbook for the Secretary of the Treasury to decide by himself exactly what he's going to do with all of this is just very, very concerning, and I believe a divergence, again, from the kind of rule of law and the kind of principles that have been in place that have allowed more Americans to have greater success and greater opportunity and greater entrepreneurship and ability than any nation ever.
Last 20 seconds, Congressman. Do you believe that Congress, even with an increasing Democratic majority, has learned that lesson and that we might not see a repeat of this in the new Congress, or is it more likely that we will?
I don't see any evidence that Congress has learned its lesson, and I don't see any evidence that Washington has learned its lesson. I do know that the American people are very concerned and do not believe that Washington ought to be running the show the way they are right now.
Congressman, unfortunately, our time is up. But thank you so much for your time, and have a great holiday season. Merry Christmas to you, and Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays to you.
Thank you, sir. Georgia Republican Congressman Tom Price represents his state's 6th Congressional District and is a member of the very important House Financial Services Committee. This is Dateline Washington.